Welcome to The Spiritual Show. Leadership isn't just about strategy and decisions. It's also about the inner journey. It's about tapping into our intuition, our sense of purpose, and the values that guide us. As leaders, our spiritual well-being shapes the way we approach challenges, inspire others, and make decisions that impact the world around us. In this segment, we'll explore how spiritual practices, whether it's mindfulness, meditation, or simply taking time to reflect, can help leaders stay grounded, centered, and aligned with their core purpose. So let's dive in and discover how nurturing our spiritual selves can empower us to lead with greater clarity and purpose, and how being in tune with ourselves can help us make a deeper impact in the world. Hello, hello, hello. I am so freaking excited to have this part with an amazing friend of mine, Taz Singh. I've known Taz for 6 or 7 years now, and we've always wanted to do a collaboration together, and the time is now. We're going to talk about that. But before I get started, I really want us to just sit back and relax, grab yourself a cup of coffee, because this is going to get heated and exciting and interesting as we are going to tap into our ancestors, and we're going to learn a little bit about them and also beyond this life that we live and how our ancestors show up for us in the day to day. So without further ado, Conscious Leaders presents to you Carmen and Taz in conversation.
Hi, Carmen. That was a beautiful
But now before I do that, I also just want to mention we have two ladies sitting with us today, and they're part of the Conscious Leaders Youth Collaborative. Now we've got 10 ladies, and two of these ladies are sitting with us today, and we're actually going to actually dive into how this conversation came about ancestors and why we're sitting here, and they're going to give a little bit of perspective. So without further ado, Sena.
Hi.
And Z.
Hi.
There you go. Okay.
So I know, Carmen, you and I have chatted about doing something for a long time. Mm-hmm. And as you said, the time is now. Everything is about timing. Both of us had so much going on, and we needed to invest in what we wanted to do. Mm. But you reached out to me and you said, I want the first episode to be about ancestors. And you know, I'm very big on ancestors. Yeah. That is something that I'm very respectful on. But what made you decide that this needs to be the first topic?
It was Heritage Day, right? And so the Youth Collaborative, we've got a WhatsApp group. And I thought, you know what, with the advisory board and the Youth Collaborative, I'm going to pose questions about understanding what heritage means to us in this particular day, because, you know, some of us detach to our cultures, and I'm one of those, and I'm always open about it. Being Afrikaans in this country, I've really pulled away from my Afrikaansness because I felt shame, right?
Why?
Well, you know, the whole background of the Afrikaans culture, but I'm learning to overcome that, and I'm working very hard to gain trust and to understand my culture.
But to pause you, if you look at the past, you look at the history, right? Yeah. Instead of feeling ashamed, you should say, I can make a positive change and educate
yes.
people that not everybody comes with that mindset. Mm. So you should not detach from your background, but educate and bring healing to the forefront.
100%. And I mean, that is exactly one of the things that that I am planning on doing. So I have to tell, I cannot not tell you this, right? So the first time I met Taz was about 6 or 7 years ago.
It feels like ages ago.
So I build friendships, and when I connect hard. Like, and Taz was one of those people. Like, the moment we met, an instant friendship happened, and it just, you know, grew and grew from there. But in the first 2 minutes, I finished like 10 or 20 tissues. I could not believe it. It was my first time to see a medium psychic. First time, my religion was like, okay, that is something you never do. You don't go to a psychic or a medium. And I sat down, and you picked up on something freaking nobody would have known. And I'm going to share that with you now, because it's actually put me on a scavenger hunt to understand my ancestors. So she opens up and she said to me, there is a grandfather that comes out of the military, and he's in military clothing, and he's standing behind you, and he's kissing you on your head, and he's touching you, and
you started opening up everything that's going on in my life through his eyes and that he's been watching over me. But I've never met him. He died when my mom was 2 months old. There's a big story behind him and what he did. And then my other grandfather also, I never met. He walked away out of the house when I was, I think, 3 or 6 months old, and he never returned. So I never had that relationship with a real, like with my own grandfathers. And you picked it up in that second. So it sent me down a scavenger hunt for the past, I would say, 18 months now, 2 years now, I can't remember. I started tracking back my ancestors because I want to know where I come from. And I don't know if it's an age thing or what it was, but I started going back and found my ancestors all the way back to the 1500s. And it's been a beautiful journey for me to try and understand them. I know numerology, like studying numerology, I use numerology as a way to look at their characteristics and who they were, just to give me a glimpse.
I want to go back to what you were just saying now about religion, right? Yes, I am a medium and I'm a life coach. And yes, I do crossing over, but in no way I am bringing religion into it.
Yeah.
Right. So nobody should feel that I should not go to somebody who is a healer that can assist me with current and maybe future plans or just heal me on the journey that I'm on, because religion is now coming into play. You have had interactions with me. Many of my clients, in fact, all my clients that have worked with me know that I do not allow religion into a conversation because everybody's journey of religion is their own personal journey. Right? I'm not here to change anybody. Right? I'm here to help you navigate life with a lot more, grounding, with a lot more healing and power. Because knowledge brings power. When we know that this happened because of that reason and this is where my life is now, and that's what can, you know, open up for me beautifully going forward if I make these changes, it gives you that sense of power and control over your life, and that's what I'm all about. Mm. So religion should never be a factor when you want to seek healing, right? And when you speak about ancestors, it has nothing to do with age. You're at a point where you are learning about yourself. You're at a point where you are searching for your own inner spirituality. And all of us sitting here today are psychic. Every single human being has that sixth sense and that gut feel. So we have that inner compass that is steering us. The problem is we are so afraid of listening to our own voice that we are blocking information from coming through. Listen, when all else fails, then you come to test. But on a day-to-day basis, you can't be picking up the phone and speaking to your therapist or your healer. You've also got to listen to your own voice. And that voice is God. That voice is your ancestors. And I must tell you, ladies, you know, in South Africa, and I love my country and I love my people, in South Africa, we are very big on ancestors. It is part of us. We learn how to respect. We learn how to include in whatever prayer we are doing. You know, we worship God, but we honor our ancestors. But because I'm doing so much of work globally, it was quite shocking when I found out that people in the USA a vast majority of the people in the USA do not understand ancestors. Wow. They see it as witchcraft.
You see?
They see it as witchcraft. Wow. And I was on the Braxton show. I was doing a reading for one of the Braxtons. And there were a few comments where people were calling me a witch and were calling evil and all of that. And I took it in my stride because I felt you are not educated on the topic. Right. Mm. Because if you are educated on the topic, you would understand that your ancestors can never be evil. They are angels. They are guides that are guiding us. Right. And if anybody that has passed on and wants to help you, how can they be evil? Right. Mm. And we pray to God. We worship God because that is our foundation. But if our ancestors are bringing in also positivity, why not? Right. Mm. If on a daily basis we're engaging with friends and family that is adding value in our life, why not let people that are on a higher path now also do the same? So you are on this path of self-discovery. You have been trying to find where you fit in spirituality. And that is why you're opening yourself up to the ancestors. And I have to do the crossing because your mom does come through.
My mom?
Yes. She does come through and she says to you, thank you for forgiving me, right? Because there's been a breakdown in that relationship, right? You have had a challenging childhood, right? And you've had to learn about yourself when you were an adult. A lot of us learn about ourselves as we're growing up, in our teenage years. You know, we make our mistakes and we have our family to support us, have our mom to guide us. But in your case, you learned a lot about yourself when you met your husband, right? That is when you learned, this is the woman I am. This is the woman I want to be. This is the life I want to have. Your husband became your mother, your father, your lover. He became everything because you started to see life differently. So you were robbed of a childhood.
Yes.
Right?
I only found out. I had dreams about it and I couldn't remember it. And I only started remembering a few years ago. And
because you were blocking it. It was your way of protecting yourself. Right. When we block out, it's because we subconsciously do not want to deal with the information coming through. So you started to experience your childhood now as an adult. And that is why you've got this playful energy, because sometimes you just want to go back in time. And you're so blessed to have the partner that you have. You know, I love him. But you're so blessed to have the partner that you have because he allows you to be common. You don't have to be the wife. You don't have to be the businesswoman. You are able to just be common in that moment. And I've seen the way you are, mature at times with him, playful at times with him. You get to experience all facets of your energy because he has shown you that there's so much more to you. Right? And it's, yes, unfortunate that you did not get to have that childhood. But what is also very beautiful is that you've taken the negatives, you've taken the experiences that someone would have broken with, and you've made it your strength now because you are all about empowerment. You're all about making sure that other women do not go through what you have been through, other young girls. So I am seeing that you've taken a lot of young or youth under your wing, right? So your mom comes through beautiful.
But my mom's still alive.
She comes in very strong. This is not biological mom, hey? She comes in standing behind you and she says, I am sorry, but she's from your paternal side of the family, right? Because your paternal family abandoned.
My father's mother.
Yes, but she keeps calling herself mom. And she says, we abandoned. Your family. She says that we abandoned our responsibilities.
Yes, I did.
She says that where we were supposed to step in and we were supposed to heal, where we were supposed to fix, she says we let your mom down, we let the children down. She says that we abandoned our responsibilities. She keeps coming in as a mother and she says that I want to fix and I want to heal. All right? And she shows me that when it came to family, you were searching. You were wanting that sense of validation. You did not get it from your paternal side and you did not get it from your maternal side. All right. She says, as the elders, as the leaders in the family, we failed you. And when I look at the energy around your biological mom, there was a breakdown in communication. There was a breakdown in support. And that is why this ancestor is coming in, because she says, had we played our role, and had we done what we were supposed to do as the elders and as a mother, she says, you would not have felt alone. You would have not felt like you did not have that blessings and that guidance of a mother. So she says, as much as, she's talking about your biological, she says, as much as she has failed you, we have to. All right? And your grandfather from your maternal side comes through, from your mom's side. He's very warm when he comes through. He's very kind when he comes through and he just gives you the big hug and he says to you, you need this hug. He says, you need to feel loved and you need to know that we are proud of you. All right. I want to go back to the grandmother that's standing behind you. She was a very firm lady, very tough lady.
Yes.
Right.
Come on, Aniki.
Yes. Uh-huh. She says that I just feel if I did things differently, you would have had a mother. You would have had that protection. And she says, today I really and truly am apologizing. But when I go to the grandfather from the paternal side, from your dad's side, also a very stern man when he comes through, he says, I made mistakes and I'm taking accountability. But he is apologizing to your mom. He says, you may not understand your mom. And yes, she may have failed you in many ways. But he said she also had a hard life.
Yes, she very, very
hard. He said she also had a hard life. And he says instead of her separating her emotions of what she was going through and being a mom, she put everything in one basket and she blamed everybody, including the child, which was you. So your mom became very judgmental. Mm. And she became very hard on you. And he says, I'm not saying that she's 100% correct, but he says, understand her background too.
Yeah.
Right? That her challenges hardened her. Yes, she should have got help. Yes, she should have done things differently. But he says, in her time, she did not see there was help available.
Mm.
Right? And he says, the best advice I can give you today is to forgive. Because he says that has kept you trapped for a very long time. It prevented you from being a mom. Right? He says today, I want you. He stands with his wife. They both are standing as parents behind you. Right? And they come through. They come through with so much of blessings. And he says that the mistakes that we made on your mom, on you, prevented you from having the life that you deserved. He says you were unable to be the mom. You were unable to have the family that you needed and deserved. And he says it's all our fault. And he says, I want you to forgive your mom to set you free. And he says, I hope you can forgive us too. He says, all I need today is to tell you that you are loved, that we really and truly are proud of you. And he says, I just want you to be happy. Right. I like that they are coming through with such strength today. Right. And the grandmother, who is standing so strong as a mom, she says, if it's okay with you, I want to be your mother. Yeah. And I want to heal you. And I want to walk this journey with you, if that's okay.
It was just her birthday, so on the 8th of October. And I thought about her a lot. And she was my mom because she, my mom was always working. So I had to stay with Omar. And she raised me. And I was like the only child with her. And she was just... yeah, like there's so many moments I missed that I didn't have, but it's the weirdest thing. Like, I wouldn't say I'm clairvoyant, but I see visions, right? And the other day I went into meditation and I literally went back to my childhood, walking the streets where I had to go to the shop and go back to Omar, and I'm remembering so much about her lately, which things I've completely forgot about, and how she used to take care of me as a little one, but also where things got, you know.
But don't you find it's amazing that the more you are embracing your childhood and the more you are more you are healing, you are embracing your childhood, right? The more you are healing, the energies and the memories of your childhood is coming to the fore to show you that it wasn't all bad. And the fact that you're remembering her and she's coming through as a mother is beautiful, because you saw her as your mother, as that mother figure, as that strength. And the fact that she wants to play that role, that she wants to walk this journey with you, I think that's beautiful. So I don't think you realize, but you've received her on that level and you've made it easier to connect with her. And, you know, when we talk about the element of forgiveness, your grandfather says, forgive your mom to set yourself free. That is very powerful, because it does not mean that she was right in what she did, but it means that I don't want to be trapped as that little girl anymore.
Yeah.
Right? You've lost a child as well, right? And you are carrying the soul of that child with you. But when you look back, sometimes you feel maybe it was a blessing I didn't have a child, because I don't know if I could have been a mom. And your grandmother says you would have been a very protective and very possessive mother.
Yeah, I would not be able to leave the house, no.
She says you would have been an amazing mother, but she says all the mistakes that was made around you caused you to sacrifice on this level. And she says, today I just am so glad that I got a voice. I got to show you that you have a mother watching over you. And she says, let's walk this journey. Let's embrace life and let's give you a new chapter.
And I'm going to ask one question before we move over to the girls. You know, when... Conscious Leaders, right, was actually something because of my mom, because of the hardships that she's had. And I know that you can probably connect to what that is. But I always, as a little girl, said, one day when I'm big, I want to make sure that it never happens again. And I've been a victim. We've all been victims of it. But I always felt that, and that I'm going to work with women, but I forgot about it. Until now, recently, and that's why Conscious Leaders started. And I'm wondering what their views are as to, because they probably know what I'm busy at home and how hard I'm working on in the back end of where I'm taking this, if I'm on the right path.
You're absolutely on the right path. And I am seeing that everything you're doing is not about money. It's not about fame. It's not about fortune. It's about making a difference.
Mm.
It's about saving lives.
Mm.
It's about healing. And I promise you, you're on the right track.
Okay.
But I have to speak to these girls. Because, Sana, I have your grandfather coming through immediately.
I'm terrified, I'll admit.
Today's topic is ancestors.
Of course.
And I see that you were struggling with this for a little while, you know, understanding the concept about it. You come from a family that's very traditional. You are very respectful to your family in the way they do things. But sometimes you feel, this is not my journey. Right. So you're not fanatical about, oh, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z because they are telling me. You are doing things what feels right to you. But your ancestors are a very big part of your foundation. Right. You come from a family that honors them. You come from a family that welcomes them in every traditional prayer that they do. And your grandfather comes through giving you a hug. And he says to you that I want you to know that you are loved. He says that sometimes you feel alone. He says you go through challenges and you don't talk about it to anyone because you feel you've got to be strong. And he says you don't have to be strong. He says you have us. There's another male that comes in as an uncle, but he is from your mom's side of the family. He shows me his death was very sudden. He says that your mom has always been a kind and giving person. And he says you have mom's warmth for people. But because you think in your mind that I've got to be strong, you try to disconnect. He says your connection with people is what is your strength. So don't disconnect. He says everything that you're doing, because I'm seeing studies, I'm seeing you specializing, I'm seeing you having your own practice. So I see you have a vision to also be in a position of leadership. And the connection that you will have with people is your gift that you should not walk away from. Because you feel, and you're so wrong, you feel like, oh, I'm tough, I don't like people, I don't have patience. You are absolutely the opposite. When you sit with people, you have such kindness and warmth that people resonate with that energy and they end up opening up. And that's what I'm saying, it's a gift that I want you to harness.
Uh-huh.
And they talk about a relationship. In fact, you've had two breakups. There was the previous relationship that you thought was love. I think that was the first feeling of love and it didn't materialize. And then there was this recent relationship where you invested so much of yourself. But unfortunately, you got stuck in a situation where you were attracting relationships with people that were very narcissistic, right? You were attracting people that were trying to change who you are. And the reason that happened, because I know your question, then why am I doing this? For you to learn how to stand up and know your identity. For you to learn to stand up and say, this is who I am, because your mom did not have an identity. Your mom was a giver and a healer and a protector. Mm. And as much as you take after your mom's kindness and love for people, you needed to break away from that pattern because you are going to be a very successful individual. But in order to be successful, you also need to be strong, right? Mm. And learn how to set boundaries. So the good news is I'm not seeing you entering into another relationship like that. Because you have made a conscious decision that I am not going to go into another relationship where I need to heal somebody, where I need to fix somebody, right? Mm. Because it's exhausting. And I think to everybody listening, we need to be in relationships where the individual is complimenting us, right? We always say, oh, we want someone to complete us. You should be complete, because when you are now in a relationship and you're putting baggage on somebody, it's not fair on that person, right? I'm not saying everybody's healed. We all have our elements of baggage, right? We all have things that we're learning and growing, but not so big where it becomes somebody else's problem.
Yeah.
Right? When I look at your energy, I am seeing that you take people, whether it's friends, whether it's family, and now we see relationship too, you take people under your wing and you feel responsible. And that's what you are going to change. You're going to set boundaries to say, I will love and I will respect, but I'm not going to give of myself where my identity is being changed, right?
Mm,
and this time you're going to bring someone into your life where they are complimenting who you are. They will add value to your life and you'll add value to their life.
Yeah.
Relationship is all about compromise, right? We learn how to compromise. We learn how to respect. We learn how to adapt. but we adapt on areas that is going to enhance, not break. Mm-hmm. And that is why you are blessed to have your partner, because Coleman has added such value in your life. Mm. But, you know, no relationship is easy. Mm. I'm married now 25 years.
Sure.
No relationship is easy. It comes with challenges here and there, but it's how you communicate. Mm. It is how you work through those challenges. When it is so big and you find that communication is not working, that there isn't that vision that's aligning, then you know, okay, this is not my person. And that's why I'm bringing that into your journey now, because the person that, you know, the relationship that just ended recently, the vision was not aligned. You know, this person wanted to be more a controlling person, wanted to be in the forefront. And because your energy is a leader, you would not have balanced one another. So I don't want you to feel sad about this relationship ending. I want you to walk away feeling empowered that he's not a bad person, but he came into my life for a reason. He taught me things about myself, and now it ended, and we respectfully walk away from one another. Because sometimes we get stuck in anger and we want to be revengeful, and that's not emotions we want to carry, because we end up getting stuck in the healing process. The person that hurt you has moved on, but now you are stuck with all of this negative energy. I want you to know that you have a beautiful path in terms of studies, in terms of career, in terms of success, and I still see international energy around you. So there's a lot of opportunities that's going to present itself, but you are going to allow yourself to meet someone that is aligning, that you can have those healthy communication or conversations with, but most importantly, someone that is not changing who you are. The moment someone wants to change the core you, then you know this is not the person for me. And when I go to your energy, I see you very spiritual. I see that within yourself you pray, you seek guidance from your ancestors. And I like that you know how to slow down and listen. Right? You are very respectful, not just to your elders and your ancestors, but you're respectful to people in general, because I see you're a great listener. Right. So if you had gone into, or if you decide to go into any part that is therapy related, you would be an amazing successful person on that part, because people will absolutely benefit from you. You'll be making a positive impact, but you'll also be earning. Right. And I am seeing that there is going to be a lot of opportunity for you to do motivational speaking, for you to do coaching, for you to also engage with people to heal them on different levels. Mm-hmm. And why I say different levels, because as you are learning and growing and building yourself, you'll find that your energy is evolving in terms of the work that you do. So I don't want you to feel like, oh, I want to do that, but this is where I am. Everything happens for a reason. And I do have an aunt that comes through as a mother. She gives you a kiss on your head and she says, remember, I love you. She says, remember, I'm watching over you. I have a grandmother, but this is great-grandmother first that's coming in, that's an elder. She shows me she was very ill before she passed away. She lost a lot of her strength. She did not want to be a burden, so she accepted death. She keeps holding her legs. That's why I'm doing that. Because she says that she lost her strength. And she says the women in our family are very strong. She says the women in our family knows how to stand up for themselves and how to fend for themselves. And she says, I really am proud of you. All right. Both of you girls are so blessed and loved by your ancestors. And both of you girls come from backgrounds where there's also been difficulties. Right. But you're on a path where you're trying to find yourself. You're trying to, you know, study and build a beautiful life for yourself. And I promise you, both of you are going to do very well. And I'm not saying this because you're sitting here. I promise you, the both of you, and I see this energy, both of you are very hardworking and very determined to not just build a life for yourself, but to improve your family. Right. Especially you, Sana. It's like you're trying to show them that, you know what, we don't have to settle, that we can be better. Right. And when I look at your energy, I see that you're very creative. Right. So as much as you're grounded in terms of career, there's going to be the creative element that comes in. That is your passion. That is your healing. That's your meditation, right? Do you love music? Because I see that you can shut the world out with that earphones. So that is your meditation. And I want to bring that in because you spoke about meditation. Meditation does not need to be floating on water. It does not need to be... because Carmen mentioned...
I want to do it, though.
No, you must do it. You must do it. But what I'm saying... No, you must do it. But what I'm saying is that you do not need to find ways of meditating that this is the right way and this is the only way. You can go for a walk, and that's your meditation. You could be like Z and put on your music, your earphones, and that's your meditation. Me driving in my car with no music, nobody speaking to me is my meditation. So everybody finds what works for them. But the most important thing is when you are meditating or when you're in that quiet moment, your mind is still. That you are able to reflect, you are able to put things into perspective, and you are able to focus on what you want, because manifestation is very important, right? So we have God that we worship and we're praying to. We've got ancestors that we honor and we're asking for help. But don't you think it's unfair that we're putting it all on them? We need to take accountability too, to say, what am I bringing to the table? So we need to start cutting out people that are toxic. Right, people that are not adding value in our life. And I know I sound very harsh when I say this,
but it's necessary.
But it's necessary because if you're going to surround yourself with people that are constantly talking about other people and constantly bringing you down and constantly being so toxic and negative, the energy is going to become heavy. The energy is going to become stuck. Right. So God gives you free will and power. Use that power to say, this individual, family or friend, whoever it is, this person is not adding value in my life. It is okay for me to take a step back and distance myself. You don't have to have an issue with a person. You can respectfully take a step back and say, I don't have to engage with this person on this level because it is bringing my energy down. Everything's about energy, right? You can walk into a room and feel like, I don't want to be here, because you've picked up the energy. Or you can walk into a room and feel, this is so warm, it's so comfortable, and feel open that I want to engage, because you've already now connected energetically. So it is so important that when we want to succeed in life, in anything, whether it's relationship, whether it's professional, whatever it is you want to do in life, surround yourself with like-minded people. Surround yourself with people that's going to enhance your journey, right? And you'll find that the more you surround yourself with people that are making you think different, that's making you think out of the box, that's making you strive to be better, you start evolving. And that's what we're here for, is to become better, stronger individuals so that we can make a positive impact in other people's lives. And I say this all the time, that's what humankind is all about. Not sitting and saying, oh, did you see what she wore? I would leave here today, I would not even remember what each one has worn, but I will remember how you made me feel, right? I will remember how you made me feel, because that's how I connect with people. And that is so important. Leave a lasting impression on people, on their soul, because people will remember you. They will remember you, how you spoke, how you motivated, how you impacted their life. And when you leave that memory, they will always talk highly of you. That's your marketing, right? So when I look at my life, for example, I love people. I love people. This is my job every day. And I don't even call it a job. It's something that I get up every day looking forward to. So I'm connecting with people on a daily basis. But I'm also very respectful of my energy, right? As a healer, it does not mean that, oh, it's all about giving. I know when to draw a line. I know where to set up the boundaries, because I need to also protect myself. And that is something I would like for you guys to do, because Carmen, we have this conversation all the time. Carmen is an empath, and she feels like, oh, I've got to give. And then we have the conversation, and you're drained, right? You're drained because you feel obligated, and that's a very important word. When it comes to family, we feel obligated that we have to be present. Again, we don't choose our family, but we choose how much we give of ourselves, even if it's your own child, right? You get to choose how much you give of yourself, and you get to choose how much information you share, because also people take that information, and then there's elements of jealousy, right? And that creates blockages. But I want to give you guys a chance to speak as well. I've said a mouthful. Anything you'd like to say, Z? Does it resonate with you what we're talking about?
I think it definitely does. And I'm just so grateful for you opening up this conversation and helping us connect with all those, you know, ancestors that are looking out for us and guiding us. Because I'm really thinking about how much it really helps to know that you have an ancestor who's looking out for you, who you can call to for that continued guidance in whatever it is that you're going through. So there's something really special about actually having to think about, like, I have an aunt that's actually wishing me well, that's looking out for me, that's loving on me, because it makes me feel like, you know, I have an army behind me that's really guiding me.
I like you use the
it.
Word army, because I often say that in my readings, yeah, actually. Yeah. And you actually do have an army. So I only connected with the great-grandmother and the aunt, but you've got a grandmother, you've got two uncles, you've got a grandfather. So you use the right word. You actually do have an army. And I think walking away from this and understanding that God is everywhere and God is for everybody, but my ancestors are for me. Those are my special people that when I'm praying, I know I have direct contact, that I can connect with them, and they are there for me. It makes it different. It makes it unique. It makes it special. It makes you feel special. And there's so much of, depression going around. There's so much of suicide situations going around. But when somebody sits back and understand that the people that are alive are letting me down, but I actually have people on the other side that believe in me, so I'm going to believe in me. All right? We forget that we have power to change anything. And when people let us down, we get stuck in that situation. We get stuck in that emotion. We go into depression. We feel life is over. What have we done? We've let those people win. But when you sit back, like as you said, you sit back and you say, but I've got an army that's believing in me. So I owe it to them to believe in myself. And if I am having such a connection with God, if I'm praying to God, then I need to have faith in God that this journey that I'm going through or this difficulty I'm going through is just a phase. Because no God will put me here to have a lifetime of misery.
You will have
a lifetime of misery if you choose to be stuck in that situation and in that emotion, because God will never put you through something for the rest of your life. He will give you tools to heal. And he will give you opportunities to rise above the situation. But as humans, what do? We feel sorry for ourselves. We get stuck. And then we become angry and bitter. We're angry at God. There's no ancestors now. To us, it's like there's no ancestors. We get angry at the people around us. But what have we done? We lost our power. Right? So it is so important today to understand that, yes, we pray. And yes, we seek guidance, but we have to do our bit as well. We have to meet God and our ancestors halfway to say, I am believing in myself enough to change whatever negative is happening around me. Right? Anything you'd like to add?
Oh, Taz, I could comment on so much there, but I'm going to touch on sort of one element as you were speaking about, you know, you were very right. I have been on this journey of questioning, you know, is this for me? Is it not for me? And one of the most healing or affirming things that you did in that reading there is this thing of almost authenticity and let you be you instead of molding, shape-shifting and trying to sort of save other people. And Carmen never quite got to finishing the story of how this particular subject of ancestors started within Unconscious Leaders, our youth collaborative. Is again, it was a Heritage Day, and she sort of posed the question, how do you, I'm paraphrasing, but how do you feel connected to your culture? And all of these themes around, you know, ancestry, belonging, where we come from started coming up. But what I realized from that conversation was how vulnerable it was, and again, how authentic it was. I think I'm in this journey of my life of such that finding of identity and uncovering and, strangely enough, unmasking. And the universe seems to put me in contact with women and people that are helping facilitate that. So even this discussion right now, I'm now looking at it in the grand scheme of this is meant to happen. There are people, an army, as Z saying, that keep on pushing me in directions of unmasking and uncovering this real me, of which I felt a long time I had to mold and shapeshift. So that is that's a very big, like, sort of theme that's coming up for me. So thank you for facilitating that.
I want to say you are surrounding yourself with women that is very empowerment driven, because you are going down that path. As I said, you're a leader and you're going to be on a platform where you're going to make a positive impact. So everybody that you're meeting is allowing you to understand yourself and allowing you to grow. But there's something that you said I want to talk about when you said unmasking. You know, we had a whole conversation. I did another podcast as well, and we're talking about the unmasking. We end up in relationships. Right. And sometimes it can be 1 year, 2 years, 20 years. And then you find that, oh, this person is not the person for me. They are so negative. They're hurting me, whatever. People cannot keep a mask on forever. The problem is we go into denial. And just talking about relationships in specific now, but I'll also generalize. When we talk about just relationship, you think, but why didn't I see this person? You know, why didn't I see this side of this person? Because we go into denial. A person cannot keep the mask on for too long. So over the period of time, the mask comes off, and they start to show their true identity. But it is for us to use discernment, and it is for us to actually learn how to detach a little bit emotionally to see the truth. Mm. But generally, as women, we are so loving. Yeah. I know there's men out there that are loving too. But generally, as women, we are the empaths. And we want to see good. We want to make excuses. We only want to see the best in people. So we go into denial until it's too late down the line and we realize, oh my God, what have I done? Right? So whenever anybody that's listening, when you enter into a relationship, don't just rush into it. And I'm looking at specifically you because you know you did this. You know you did this. Yeah. So don't just jump into a relationship and say, oh, this is love. Yes, you may feel that connection, but give that person a chance to take off that mask.
Yeah.
And then you decide, do I like this person without the mask? Mm. Right. Give the relationship the time it needs to grow to be something that is unique.
I just want to comment on that, Taz, because I love it. Exactly. It's that the mask. I think you use the word denial, and what I've been grappling with a lot, especially since, you know, you so rightly called me out for jumping into things, but you use the word denial. So it's seeing the sort of elements of the real identity and passing it off. I like to think of it as this cognitive dissonance. Mm. And as you said something, we all have a God in us. We have an intuition and we live in a society that constantly, and it's, you know, it's a big, you and I were having a conversation about the connection between mind and body and advocating for yourself and, you know, being so intuitive with your body and your own, you know, signals that we sort of disconnect from that. And we live in a society that facilitates that, that's constantly saying, use logic, there's this. And then we don't place a lot of emphasis or a lot of, you know, any sort of strength in that inner feeling and that inner compass. And we're told to disregard that because it's not scientific. And we tend to have a cognitive dissonance when we come across people. We sometimes see them for who we want to see them. We
who
project.
We want to see.
Yeah. We want something to be true so badly that we're willing to sort of pass it off. And it is this cognitive dissonance that I know personally I struggle with, especially when I want to see the best. And especially as a healer, as someone that wants to save people, you tend to want to believe your own reality of what you make someone be. So I think that's an important thing.
But you know, the whole world is changing. The world is changing and people are becoming more spiritual. They are learning how to become in tune with themselves. They're learning how to tap into that inner energy. So when we talk about science and logic, I think people are learning how to take a step away from that. Mm. So it is very important that you, it's not about logic or whatever. It's about trust. It's about trusting yourself.
Yeah.
Because we're so scared that we are wrong.
Yeah.
That we don't want to believe or hear what that inner voice is telling us, right?
Yeah.
And that is very important because that inner voice and that feeling that you have, that is always going to be 100% correct. And if you are unsure, pause whatever it is that you need to make a decision on for a few days. Sleep on
it. Such great advice.
And I promise you, by day 3-4, you'll start to feel stronger with the decision that you need to make. Right. I'm very, I love people. And I keep saying this, I love people. I'm always working with people. But my circle that, you know, that I associate with is very small. Mm. Right. Because I believe in trust. I believe in people being authentic. And often you find people coming into your space that just wants to be a taker. They take your energy.
Oh, I've got many of those in my life.
I know. We've had that conversation.
We have had that conversation this morning. Like, there's a lot of takers, and I feel like...
And you feel depleted.
Yes.
And you can't achieve what you want to do. There's so many topics we could talk about.
We've got to talk about the army. We've got to do meditation.
But there's so much, right?
Yeah.
Spirituality is a big concept. But we all have an inner child that needs healing. And what happens is when that inner child is feeling vulnerable, we let people come on and we forget about what our plan is, what our vision is, and we start to mold ourselves to be what the other person thinks it needs to be. So now what's happening? You're forgetting your identity. You're forgetting your foundation and your grounding, right? So it is so important. Like if I had to give you all tools today, tips on what to take away, I think the first step is please worship God and please honor your ancestors because that is your protection. Mm-hmm. That is that cape around you that is always going to be your protective layer. Right. And nothing can harm you when you have faith in that. Mm. Right. Because when you have unwavering faith, trust me, no matter what hurdle comes in your way, you will always use your strength, your power, your prayer to overcome because there will be that voice, that energy that will steer you. Right. So that is important for me. God and my ancestors is my cape. Right. And then when I go into any business deal, and you know, I'm working globally and locally and everywhere, I'm just overworking actually. I always walk in with an authentic self. This is who I am. This is what I offer. And we had a conversation earlier where there was an A-lister that I was not happy with. And, you know, I stood my ground because I'm not going to change who I am because you want me to be somebody else. The moment I change who I am, then I've lost my identity. I've lost my grounding. And how can I help anybody else?
Yeah.
Because now I'm questioning. Yes, I'm growing every day. I'm learning through my clients. I'm learning through my friends. We are all evolving, but not to a point where your words are changing the core me. Right? Because I am a healer first and foremost, and I'm not going to change that. Right? So when you go into anything, whether it's relationship or professional decision making, you need to know who you are and what you're bringing to the table. Sometimes that table may not be the table for you. It does not mean you're weak. It does not mean that, oh, you have nothing of value to add. It means it's not the right time. That's not the table for me now because I need to grow and I need to evolve so that when I sit at that table, I can add value because we can't sit at every table. We need to be realistic, which is the right table for me now.
Yeah.
Right? Because in 2 years or 5 years, in 10 years, I may be leading that table. Why should I be sitting at the end of that table and be forgotten?
Yeah.
In a couple of years, I'll be leading that table, but I need to grow first to be leading that table. So don't look at negative situations. Don't look at opportunities that you lose as, oh my God, why did I lose that? Know that I was not ready for that. Sometimes it's the perspective of the thing, right?
Yeah.
It's how you look at things, right? Because what we do is we feel sorry for ourselves. We become so negative that I'm not strong. I'm so weak. Nobody loves me. Nobody respects me. We start feeling sorry for ourselves. What are you doing? You're getting stuck. You're getting stuck in an emotion. You're getting stuck in that situation. Rise above it to say, they didn't appreciate me or they didn't see me now because I wasn't ready to be seen. Huh. I did not have anything to add at that point. So don't make it about them. Look at yourself first and say, take accountability. What do I need to change so that I can be seen and I can be heard?
I love that you're saying that because I think one of the things that I'm really working. So I love being me. I really love being me because I love
it.
How people are around me when I am me.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
That is very powerful because you are a healer yourself in the way you connect. So you love the way people feel around you because that's your driving force. It's to make a difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's your core business.
Yeah. Exactly. But I mean, what you're talking about, I mean, like, there's so many conversations we have to go into, but we can't not today. But I mean, like, the big thing for me is also sometimes when I get a no, I just know it's not a yes with them right now, and it's time for a redirection. So every time when I find myself in a situation, I'm actually learning not to get despondent, but actually to get encouraged because now I'm getting an opportunity to improve my game.
100. And that's what it's all about. You need to be selective on the work you take, selective on the people you engage, especially in business because it's your reputation on the line. This is important for everybody. We've learned as friends on how to communicate without getting offended. That's why we love each other so much because we can be honest with one another. I can phone and say, Carmen, I saw that. I'm not happy with that. And you can do the same because we want the best for each other. So it is so important, people listening to this, to have that one person that, you know, you can be honest and you can be real with, that's got your back, that can call you out when you're wrong, and be able to, and you must be able to accept that information because we become very closed. We become very defensive when somebody tells us, but you know, you could have done that better, or you should have done this way, we become defensive because in our mind we were right. But remember, the people that's outside, that's watching, see things differently. Right. So if it's negative, and you know that person is not just being spiteful or whatever, then that's a different story. But if it's coming from a person that loves you, like we love each other, if it's coming from a person that loves you and they are giving you advice to enhance your journey, to help you grow and be a better person, then that's different. Right. We need to be open to people criticizing us if it's coming from a place of love.
Yeah, that's right. Very good advice, because I think we learn to be so guarded, and I think especially as women, because we've been criticized for so many decades and centuries, like I think we take it, but I think it's sometimes necessary to have that extra voice that can give
people.
It to you. Yeah. Like Taz will sometimes give it to me straight. Listen, she will give it to me straight, or she'll see a post on social media and she'll go, Carmen, don't like this.
Yeah, but vice versa.
Yeah. But in a beautiful, loving and kind, in a kind way. And I love having Taz in my life because, you know, of course I love the fact that she's also, woohoo! Of course I love that. But I think also as a human being, is like everything comes with love and kindness. And I feel like we always need to be reminded how important love and kindness is. Yeah. Because I think we're living in a time where people don't want to be around people. They want to have AI agents, not humans.
But you know, Carmen, what you're saying is important. There's so many people out there that are struggling, that are unhappy in their relationship or unhappy in career. They're just unhappy in general. And what they do is project. And now we've given people the tools of social media so they can go on at any time and criticize and body shame. And, you know, they can say a lot of things. I had gone on a retreat with clients. I was on a cruise. So what do you do on cruise? You eat. So somebody wrote on the post that you are looking beautifully fat. Do you know that?
Oh, no.
For the rest of the cruise, I didn't want to eat. I was to the group of people, I'm not going to eat.
No,
did you just see this post?
Yeah.
This person said, I look, they made it sound nice, beautifully fat, but you use the word fat now to a woman. That is like, oh, my God. But what we are doing is giving people power that I did that. I did that for that week. I did not want to eat.
Sure.
I didn't want to eat all that lovely food on the cruise because now I just kept hearing that word fat, you know? Forgot the word beautifully, but fat.
Yeah.
So what we do is we listen to all those things that are coming on social media. We read all of those negative comments and we start fixating on that. I've actually had one of the DJs at Metro FM, who's a good friend of mine, say to me, Taz, when you post, don't read. I have this habit of going and still responding replying, like, you know, being all nice and stuff. But I'm also learning that, you know what, it's not my job to do that. Right. We need to be, I think, strong enough within ourselves, not just women, but as individuals, because men go through it too. Right.
True. Yeah.
As individuals to say, I love myself enough. How often do we actually look at the mirror and say, I love you?
Yeah.
We look at the mirror and say, oh, I don't like my hair. I don't like my this. I don't like my that.
Yeah.
We never look at ourselves and say, I love you. God created us. Right. Yes, it's our duty to protect our body, to eat healthy, to maintain a healthy body. But at the end of the day, we should love ourselves, because if we don't love ourselves, how do we expect others to appreciate us?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because when you are not happy within, you're giving off that energy
that
you can take advantage of me. Right. We are giving off that energy that you can abuse me. Right. So we need to learn how to appreciate and love ourselves first, so that when we present ourselves to the world, because that's what we're doing on a daily basis, we're presenting ourselves, right?
Yeah.
So when we present ourselves to the world, you are grounded, you are very centered, and people will take you seriously because their words will not matter. If it's negative words, if it's not coming from a true friend that's helping you change, or a family member that's helping you change, if it's somebody that's of no value, that's just saying negative things, their words will not matter. Why? Because you love yourself and you know who you are and you know what you're bringing to that table, right? You will never doubt who you are and what you're bringing to the table. So it's so important that we take these little things and we groom ourselves to become strong individuals.
Yeah.
How do we heal others if we can't heal ourselves?
Yeah,
it's true.
How do we empower others if we can't empower ourselves? So we need to practice what we preach.
Right. So evolution is a journey, and
Life is a journey. We are learning on a daily basis.
It's a journey.
A long one.
Listen, last questions for Taz before we close off. Any questions?
I do. Maybe a comment more than a question. I think it's important for anybody, everybody listening to this, that we didn't even get to chat before we walked into the studio. And it's almost like as you're speaking about all and unpacking all these themes and these important lessons, I can't help but think, oh my goodness, are you on our youth collaborative group? I should be, because we are literally curating an entire webinar series about authenticity, and it goes in, as you were going, in every single respect. How do we authentically not only connect with other people, but if we can't uncover what that looks like for ourselves, that's going to fall flat. I think that is that's a big comment for me. But I think a question I have is, what is your advice for, again, the world, we get comments, we get criticisms, and we go through difficult times, and we've unpacked how our ancestors are looking out for us, and that's a big one, spirituality. How do we keep ourselves centered amidst the noise in a world that is just...
I think the best advice is focus on what it is you want to achieve. Block out the noise. People will always make noise, right? Block out the noise and stay very intentional and focused on where you're going, and I promise you, you will reach there. But I must say this, I'd love to be on this youth. I am on the borderline of menopause.
What we'll do is, because there's 8 other ladies, amazing. I mean, they are my pride and joy. I'm so excited about it.
I'm laughing at myself. I'm borderline menopause.
We must bring you in, like maybe to do like a one on Monday sessions, maybe to bring you in on one of our Monday sessions.
Absolutely.
And then you can come and meet them. They will love you.
Yeah, they will.
I will be soon sitting there with my fan.
Be your manual fan.
See, everybody watching knows Taz is borderline menopause.
I'm thinking 2 things, and the first one being, I think it came out at some point where you were talking about just being, having those experiences where you're hearing a no, or you're in a space that doesn't feel like it's the right place at the right time. Mm-hmm. And I just felt like that message specifically was for me, because I was having a conversation earlier today with a friend where, you know, they were telling me about this experience that they have being in this space where they feel happy in the job, but at the same time, it feels like it's now time for something new and stuff. And I started being preachy with them, as I get sometimes. And I was like to them, you know, I'm really saying this because I think I'm trying to affirm myself that it's really okay sometimes to be in those transitional periods where you learn how to alchemize that no, right? Mm. To be like, it's a no, but what does it really mean? Like, how do you turn back to yourself and figure out how that can be in service of you, right? Yeah. Like, a no is not like a roadblock.
Exactly.
Sometimes it's really the thing that you're needing to propel you to a certain direction, or a space that you've outgrown can be really... recognizing that and being with the feeling of that can be the thing that propels you into like the next level that you're needing to get into.
I like what you're saying, this, because that no does not mean that, oh, that is that environment and I need to be there and they said no. It means that there's a possibility that I'm destined for something bigger and better.
Yeah.
I'm settling.
Yeah.
Right. So when there's a no, take a step back and reevaluate, because you honestly could be settling.
Absolutely. And the second thing for me that's coming up is, as someone who's also been like tracing my ancestors and trying to, you know, build that connection, I wonder if you have a little tip, maybe it's for the general public or it's for the witchy girls, to be like, just to be like, what is it that you can do in your like sort of daily practice to kind of maintain that connection or build that connection, whether it's journaling or a little ritual or something of that sort?
So I will tell you what works for me, right? I'm not a person that's very ritualistic, right? Yeah. I'm very simple in the way I do things.
Yeah.
So when I connect with my ancestors, I just light a candle. I use a white candle. I light a candle. And in that moment, it's not about the candle.
Yeah.
The reason I use a candle, it's my moment of centering, that I know when I lit the candle that everything else is blocked out and this is my moment for prayer.
Yeah.
And they know, it's like, I'm like, warning you, when I light that candle, you better come through. No, on a serious level. When I light my candle, it's for me to know that my energy is calm and blocking out everything else, and my ancestors and I know that when I do that, it's time for us to connect. Yeah. And the more often you do that, the more frequently you do that, you'll find your energy becomes calmer and it's easier to connect. The only way you can connect is when your energy is calmer. Yeah. Then I also use like incense, you know, to smudge my house. So you could use in pepper, you could use incense, whatever it is. Use it to smudge your house because we want to shift energy, right? Yeah. Because people are coming in and out, different energies, right? Mm. And salt, just normal coarse salt, has so much of power in it. Hmm. So I sprinkle it in my garden. Sometimes when I've, like, you know, done quite a lot of recordings and I've been around a lot of people, my energy is a bit fatigued. I do a bubble bath. I put a little bit of salt in it and I just soak myself. And I promise you, my energy is like new again. So I wish I could look new, but
you do. Oh my gosh, you look amazing.
But, oh, you're my friend. But
I mean it.
But my energy feels.
And I can say that. So my way.
But the energy starts to feel a lot more stronger, healthier. Mm. Yeah. So simple things goes a long way. Sometimes we look for long, drawn out processes that actually frustrate us because now we're not connecting. It's about just finding a moment of stillness. You light your candle or whatever it is you're comfortable with, and you know that I'm going inwardly. Yeah. You close your eyes, you take a deep breath, you always start off with God first, and then you bring in your ancestors. And I promise you, the more often you do this, the calmer your energy and the deeper the connection. Mm. When you pray to your ancestors, they don't want anything. And this is my last, I think, advice.
Yeah.
We get confused because we are told by elders that you need to do rituals for the ancestors, you need to do offerings for the ancestors, and then they will help you. All right? That is not true. I do readings every single day, and not one ancestor has asked for anything. What they want is respect. Right? So you do not have to barter. You don't barter with God.
Yeah.
You don't tell God, I'm going to do this for you, and you do that for me. You just have faith in God.
Such a good way of putting it.
Right? Yeah. You have faith in God.
Yeah.
Why not the same with your ancestors? Mm. There's no bartering. As long as you're respectful, as long as you're kind and you're loving in the way you connect, your ancestors will help you. But if you want to do something special for them, to say, I wanted to do X, Y, and Z, and I got your guidance, I got your help, and I've achieved, and now I want to honor you with something, do a Thanksgiving. Mm. You know, in your home, it could be your family, it could be you alone.
Yeah.
Prepare a meal and say, this is in honor. Mm, because Thanksgiving is us giving that respect, right? That's as simple as it is. But if your family does rituals and that's part of the journey and it's something you want to do, that's okay. That's okay because you are choosing to do it. That's the difference. You are choosing to do it, not because you were asked to do it. Right. I had a client that was on my retreat and I was having this conversation because I'm always talking. We were on a hike and I was talking and she stopped and she says, Tez, are you saying to me that they don't ask for anything? And I said, no, she was so upset. She says, I started a business and I was told by a traditional healer that I needed to sacrifice this cows for my ancestors for the business to work. She took the last money she had. And she's probably going to listen to this. She took her last money that she had and she went and did the sacrifice prayer. And she had no money to invest in her business, and the business failed. She has been carrying anger towards her ancestors ever since because she felt, I gave you what you wanted. But they never asked for it. Hmm. People on this earth make up rules, right? We make up rules, right? So if you want to do something, you do it because you want to do it. You do it because you've got the money. You want to honor them. You want to do the sacrifice. I'm not saying don't do it. I'm saying do it because you want to do it. Don't do it because somebody told you that's a requirement. There's a difference, right? But thank you so much, Carmen.
So amazing. Like, oh, my word. So, yes, see, time goes by so quickly. So, to the audience, if you want to be in the room, there's a link for you to register for the next session that we're going to have, and we'll make a selection. I think that I would run it by you, that we can also just make sure that who needs to hear the message, etc. And we will make sure that we select people to come and sit in the room, so you might be the next person to come and join us. And whilst we're in conversation and getting wisdom and knowledge, and we'll unpack
so many topics, I think. It's just, I'm limitless. But Taz, I just want to say, you know what, I appreciate you so much. And thank you so much for being in my life and also for believing in me and always like cheering me on. You know, there's nothing
Carmen,
better than
you're not
than
a friend, you're a sister.
I know. Right?
You are really a sister. I'm going to feel emotional now. And
oh,
you
yeah, I've got tissues.
You know, Carmen and I go a long way. And it's never about the number of years. It's about the relevance you have in somebody's life. You can meet somebody for a month and just feel, oh, this person has brought such depth and value. And you can know somebody for 10 years and not feel that connection. So with you, yes, it's been a number of years, but I feel like we have a soul connection.
It was meant.
And yeah. I really do respect you. And I love that you also got my back. And to everybody watching, you are never alone. There's always somebody out there that is going to watch out for you. And if it is not somebody alive, trust me, there's somebody on the other side that's watching out for you.
100%. Whatever's meant for you will find you. So, with that, bye-bye now!
You've been listening to another production from Solid Gold Podcasts.